Linda will come and share our scripture reading.
This is from John chapter 12, verses 20 to 33. Now among those who went up to worship at the festival were some Greeks. They came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, and said to him, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." Philip went and told Andrew. Then Andrew and Philip went and told Jesus. Jesus answered them, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Very truly, I tell you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains just a single grain. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Those who love their life lose it, and those who hate their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, there will my servant be also. Whoever serves me, the Father will honor. Now my soul is troubled, and what should I say? Father, save me from this hour? No, it is for this reason that I have come to this hour. Father, glorify your name." Then a voice came from heaven, "I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again." The crowd standing there heard it and said that it was thunder. Others said, "An angel has spoken to him." Jesus answered, "This voice has come for your sake, not mine. Now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be driven out." Thanks be to God.
This reading, the scripture, always reminds me first of the church and served in Lake Avenue Baptist Church in Rochester, because the pulpit there had a plaque here on this side where the ministers could see it, not the congregation, that said, "Sir, we would see Jesus," just as these men said to Philip. I think it was intended to be a really strong reminder to preachers in that pulpit that the point was not them, that their job was to try to point people to Jesus. I liked that, being on that pulpit. It was a good thing. I've been sticking with Mark through this season of Lent, even though the lectionary went off to John last week, but I've been sticking with Mark. But today's reading for John just sort of rang too, fit too well for what the different pieces of this week, which is, it's St. Patrick's Day, Celtic spirituality, Celtic Christianity, and some of that emphasis, which I talked a little bit about with the kids. I'll say some more, and we'll learn more if you can stay at Adult Ed. And spring is happening this week, and hopefully it makes sense if you'll see why I decided I really needed to go with this John passage. Celtic Christianity, as we refer to it, Debbie Allen shared a lot about it on Wednesday, some of which I did not know, and we'll learn more today. But Celtic Christianity basically lost out to the orthodoxy of Roman Catholic Christianity in Britain and the British Isles. 8th, 9th century before that sort of really happened. But it survived in various ways, especially in Ireland, Scotland, and Wales, and it's had quite a renaissance in recent years. I think particularly because, well, several reasons, but part of it being that Celtic Christianity, building on what was already sort of the spirituality of the Celts, embraced a sense of the original goodness of creation. That although there was sin, that what was essential and first about this earth and who we are was good and blessed. And that was true. That was a sort of an aspect of Celtic sensibilities. Although Celtic spirituality pre-Christianity certainly had the dark side of being haunted by evil spirits as well as good, and that's part of what I think my understanding of what the Irish saw in Patrick was that he was not afraid, that his faith helped him to sleep peacefully at night. Some of those kind of realities that his, but that still, that in the Celtic spirituality, there is this embrace of original goodness, and there is this embrace, as I said to the kids, that all of creation reveals God. And that's true in more Orthodox, but it's somehow a little less clear than it is in the Celtic strain of Christianity. In fact, Debbie said that in the there was a notion that the Bible was the little book, the small book of God's revelation, and the earth, creation, was the big book of creation, all around us, everywhere. This is a nature-affirming, life-affirming spirituality that is part of our Christian heritage. We don't have to go Native American or whatever, somewhere, you know, to some other Eastern tradition. It's part of Christian that people are reclaiming and finding very helpful in our times. There's a sense that the divine is in all things. One theological word for that is immanence, that God is immanent everywhere. Another word for it is panentheism. Not pantheism, which would say that God, that everything is the sort of sum of everything together equals God. There's still a sense that God transcends all that is, for sure. But panentheism is a sense that theos, God, is in all that is. The whole earth shimmers with the reality of God. Christ is in all of us and in all things. The words on your bulletin cover are from a probably 8th, 9th century prayer that has come to be called St. Patrick's Breastplate. This isn't the whole of it, but it's the sort of climax of it. Christ with me, Christ before me, Christ behind me, Christ in me, Christ beneath me, Christ above me, Christ on my right, Christ on my left. Christ when I lie down, Christ when I sit down, Christ when I rise. Christ in the heart of everyone who thinks of me, Christ in the mouth of everyone who speaks of me, Christ in every eye that sees me, Christ in every ear that hears me. Christ, the Spirit that we see in Jesus, but then that is let loose and is throughout the world. Part of why the Celtic Christianity favored John, perhaps John's gospel, there's that opening of John, right? The Word, Jesus, the Logos in everything. And I think John, if for all John's theological treatises, that there is also a sense that John's gospel has a very powerful mystical understanding. And again, that's at the heart of Celtic Christianity. So in this reading today, this sense that you honor me, then you're honoring the Father, a sense of sort of this, the Spirit, that this connection and relational reality of God, Father, Creator, Jesus Christ, the revelation of that in his life, and the Spirit revealing that throughout the whole world, and that we're a part of that. I abide in you. You abide in me. That's John. That's Johannine theology. So, then there is today's reading. The last 2 weeks we've looked at Mark's version of Jesus teaching his disciples that he was going to have to suffer, be rejected, and be killed, and then rise again. That this way is the way of discipleship, the way of the cross, self-giving love, letting go of the ego, giving up our small self, our small story for God's larger story. This reading from John, Jesus speaking with a powerful big book metaphor, right? From creation says, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it's just a single grain. but if it dies, it bears much fruit. A grain of wheat, a seed, has to stop being just a grain or a seed for there to be new life. It can't just stay a grain. If it does, it's singular, it's sterile, it's eventually will just rot away. But as it dies, as it breaks down, as it gives up what it is in order to become something else, it yields life, abundance. This is this truth Jesus is pointing to in a very earthy, tangible way that is also this mystical, spiritual truth. New life comes out of letting go, out of dying to the small self, being willing to be broken down, to be transformed, to give up our old shapes, our old identities, our old ways of being, in order to become new, powerful, alive. I just think we're so blessed that we get to live in this part of the world for Lent. The word Lent even comes from the old English word lengthen, about lengthening, that's about the fact that there's becoming more and more light, that spring is coming. I wasn't sure how this year's spring was going to line up for us because Easter's early this year, but we're having an early spring, aren't we? We really are. And so right now, the big book of creation, the big book, is revealing to us this teaching all around us right now. Creation is showing forth this good news. Shoots coming up from bulbs, plants peeping up out of the ground, spring flowers among dead leaves from last fall. As we move through this day, this last week of Lent and into Holy Week, all of creation is showing us the glory of God and revealing to us the wisdom, the truth. Unless a grain of wheat falls on the ground and dies, it cannot bear fruit. What does that mean for us? It's as individual as each of our lives, and it changes day after day and season after season of our lives, right? It's that constant trying to live into, I don't have to hold on, I can trust, I can let go, I can give and receive what I need. Some of what I heard in some of us at the women's retreat. Different ways, but how many of us are in some sort of transition in our lives? It's life, right? There's always change. There's always transition. But I know some of us dealing with what's it mean to be retired? What's it mean to become a grandma? What's it mean to be finishing school? What does it mean to moving, as Adrian said so beautifully last week, from early old age to older old age? What does it mean about what's happening in our bodies and our health? What does it mean that our kids are getting bigger and changing all the time? If nothing else will remind us of how life is always change, watch kids grow, right? I mean, it's like, Sam looks bigger than he did 2 weeks ago. And the word of faith is, it's okay. We can trust the process. We don't have to control it. We can't control it. We can let the flow of God's Spirit lead us, flow through us, run through us. The love of God is here in us, in the world around us. The world is telling us over and over again, in its beauty, in its glorifying of God, trust, believe, and let go. Let it be as God leads us. So let us live into this last week of Lent hopeful, courageous, open-hearted. Be not afraid. Thanks be to God for the good news. Amen.